Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another edition of Jay Bird Watching. We are part of the StadiumScene.tv network, and I'm your host this evening, Adam Corsair, joined by Mr. Brendan Penicar and Mr. Craig Borden on the wonderful Alec Manoa Day. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Fantastic.
Manoa Mania.
Or is it mayhem? Man,
it could be, look, it's both at this point.
There it is.
That was a shot of adrenaline,
yes,
that game that we needed. We're going to break it down. But look, before we get ahead of ourselves, just want to do some quick cleanup here regarding the Jays so we can all be on the same page regarding this live stream and recording if you're listening to this in the podcast stream. First of all, the Jays currently sit with a record of 25-23. We are recording this after the first game and during the second game of the Blue Jays doubleheader. So the Blue Jays so far have won the series against the Yankees. They're trying to get the sweep going. Hopefully they can do that. But that's the positive. Since our last show, though, the Jays have fallen off quite a bit, only 1 out of 3 against Boston and getting swept by the Tampa Bay Rays 4 games in a row. The Blue Jays had fallen 6 straight games before they walked into Yankee Stadium and were able to get back in the win column. So again, hopefully they take the clean sweep with this. If not, they have the series, and that's good enough, especially going into Yankee Stadium. So now that we got that out of the way, let's talk Alec Manoa. This is the holiday that is officially stamped in Canada, I would imagine. This is Alec Manoa Day. Book it. May 27th, happening now and forever, worldwide, actually. After weeks of speculation, Manoa has been called up to the bigs today. It was supposed to be yesterday. It actually happened today. We're recording this Thursday night. Faced the Yankees today, game one of the doubleheader. What a way to make your debut live, Yankee Stadium. His mom was going apeshit for this kid. You can tell that she loves him very much. It was incredible to watch, to my heart. On top of that, what a stat line. 6 innings pitch, no earned runs, 2 hits, 7 strikeouts, 60 of his 88 pitches were thrown for strikes. Dude was in control. Dude was cruising. Dude looked phenomenal. That being said, the starting rotation was rather thin, with Nate Pearson and Thomas Hatch going through their respective injuries. Hopefully Hatch can join them soon. It was only a matter of time before Manoa was called up. So Brennan, we'll start with you, man, our resident Canadian. Chop it up. This was an act of desperation by the Jays, or do you think this call-up was truly earned and warranted, or maybe it's a combination of both? In other words, if the rotation was healthy, would we be seeing Alec Manoa today?
No, I don't think so. To answer your original question, though, I think it was a little bit of both.
a little bit of desperation for a team that was down in the dumps after getting swept by the Rays and losing the last two games of the series against Boston. And I know we're going to dissect those series. And my goodness, there's a lot to say about those, to say the least. So a little bit of active desperation, but at the same time, it was well-earned. It was a very well-earned call-up by Alek Manoah, and he proved that today. Even Joe Siddall, post-game on Sportsnet, said, you know what? I was very against them calling up Manoah because he had any minor league baseball experience, and I haven't even watched him, is what he said. But after seeing that, I now understand why he got the call. And I think a lot of people are saying that right now. It was incredible. That was about as good as a debut you could hope for a kid who's barely had any baseball experience at the professional level. Every level of the minors he's been at, though, he has pitched well. He's older than other guys' minors, so he's a little bit further along in his development process, and he went to college too, so he got that under his belt. So I'm not surprised at how dominant he looked, but I'm not surprised he pitched well. I thought going into it, it's like, you know what, if you give us four, maybe five innings tops of solid baseball, maybe you give up a run or two, you strike out five to seven batters and give up a few hits because you have a doubleheader and Robbie Ray's pitching the second one, who's proven very consistently since his first two starts of the year, he's going six or seven every single time. Charlie could afford to use the bullpen in game one. He didn't have to. He only had to go to Romano. Not only did Manoah go out there and shove, he helped this bullpen who got a rest yesterday. And let's hope Robbie Ray can go deep in this game because that bullpen is in dire needs of rest. So let's hope that the rainout yesterday ends up being a good thing. And so far, so good.
I wonder if they actually Durham and actually forced the rain out yesterday. You know,
that's just possible, man.
Hey, weatherman, by the way, this is the real report. Just just take this.
Make it happen.
Exactly. We need this off day. But, oh, my God, could it have gotten any better? If I was picturing the perfect debut for a major league pitcher, this has got to be what it looks like, right? You know, he went into Yankee Stadium, mows through the New York Yankees, and just completely just crushes them. And I love that I get to say Manoah mows him down because that's just like, you know, a lead-in. And something's going on because Adam's freaking the hell out.
It was just a relay play from Bo to home. I thought he threw him out. I guess the run counted. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay, got me all excited because, you know, being in New York, I don't get to watch shit. So
let me look at this again, but keep talking. Go ahead.
So, but God, the strikeouts, the control, and I was nervous, and I just like I think he was, because after he walked the first batter, he completely locked it in. It was great to see, and I don't think I've ever seen Aaron Judge take a more uncomfortable swing than the one that he, not even the one he fell down on. I'm talking about that one that he took right after that. He was clearly looking for something off speed. Manoah just flying in there, and he swung by the time I think Reese McGuire was just wrapping the leather around it. And it was like, nope, sorry. You might as well just walk back to the, you know, dugout at this point and grab some bench. But it was very intriguing. And then I think the other veteran that looked really, really bad against Alek Manoah was, I know he's not Brett Gardner of his prime anymore, but the fact that he was getting in on him and just completely crushing him. The one slider, Brett Gardner looked like he was swinging at it and he was going for the outside of the plate. The thing turned around and almost came at him and hits like right above his fists on the bat. It was nuts. I couldn't believe it. That slider was insane. So very good mix of his pitches and very good command, period, to be able to go through the Yankees today.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude, especially with that the first batter he faced. I thought, oh, man, here we go. Here's a straight walk right here. He's not getting any favors. He's not getting
Pearson
any calls.
All over again.
That's exactly what I
said. Yeah, not looking good. But I got to give him credit. He cleaned it up. He was able to just make the adjustments. And I got to say this. We shit on him all the time. Shout out to Reese McGuire for calling a good game for Alek Manoah, right? Because Alek wasn't shaking, well, a couple times. But for the most part, he was pitching what Reese threw down.
Yeah.
So you got to give him credit for calling a good game. And working with the strike zone, working what he had, because I know it was sort of a hot button issue in the first inning. He made the adjustments, man. The slider wasn't incredible, but it was still pretty good. He was throwing them mainly against the right-handed pitchers. The changeup looked good, and that was something that he was working on in the minor leagues. And he only had 18 innings in the minor leagues. He only threw.
Yeah. I think they threw 40 total in the minor leagues.
40 total?
Yes.
So was it 18 in Justin Buffalo?
Justin Buffalo this year, 14.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
18 or whatever. 18, so, but the catch on this that everybody, I think, on that note is missing, he was at the alternate site all year last year. It's not like he was staying at home crushing potato chips and then playing MLB The Show.
Yeah.
it's just, he was playing with these same coaches and everything. And I think it was Buck Martinez that pointed out that he was actually very close with John throughout a lot of that alternate site stuff, being, you know, major league coach John Schneider.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he looked composed. He looked like he'd been there before. You got to give him credit. And I guess the question is, Craig, has he done enough to not just earn another start? That is obvious. We all know he's getting another start. He's going to be pitching in Buffalo. It's going to happen for the Blue Jays. Is he ever going back down? Like, is this it? Because, look, we've talked about confidence. We talked about the flip-flopping with players like Sanchez. Talked about, you know, how it sort of is messing now with Pearson. If you call up a guy that went from Vancouver to AAA to the bigs, you can't bring him down now. You just can't. You need this shot of adrenaline in the arm for the rotation. I don't know if you disagree or agree with that. What say ye?
I think the biggest thing is right now, I'm going to quote a famous Charlie Montoya line here. Who else do we have?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But besides that point, right now he has now risen to the top of the Anthony K's and whatnot mountain, right? The guys that we had that were in that same level of player and pitcher, right? He's taken that next step to stand out above those guys. He show that he can in a very, very key game for the Blue Jays, I think, and today, very under sun, I think. The fact that he was able to turn around and get the team to go back and do that and eat innings and actually keep the bullpen out of this is the reason that we might have a good game right now, not just the fact that he had a good start. Like you said, one way or the other, he's getting another start. I really find it really hard for him to be taking a huge step back on the, you know, start that he had today. You've watched the confidence that he was picking up in Buffalo and just kind of continue right through it and just take this meteoric rise to get to the majors, right? He's been riding a hurricane. He's going to continue doing something along this lines that, what's the worst case scenario today? He showed up and threw six innings and gave up three runs. I would have still been fine with that start. The fact that he gets a shutout is uncanny, you know? So if he can go out and at least chew up six innings each time, that's better than what the Blue Jays have been trucking out in the third, fourth, and fifth spots of their rotation a lot of the times.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. He's obviously earned himself another start, probably another two or three. I'm sure there's going to be more gems along the way this year, like there was today. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few duds in there too, especially considering he's barely pitched at the professional level in any stint, Vancouver, Buffalo, wherever it is. But the stuff looks big league ready. The fact that he was throwing changeups to lefties, that's very rare to throw changeup to lefties and make them look like fools, right? And his sliders, threw all four of his pitches, I'm pretty sure, in the first inning.
Yes.
So the fact that he had the confidence to do that shows you he's probably good to go from here on out. I would temper expectations a little bit, maybe not too much, just in case, because he's still very raw. But at the same time, it's tough to call him raw because he just looks so polished today. It's incredibly exciting. And if he can stabilize a spot in the rotation, just imagine when Thomas Hatch comes back. If Hatch is the guy who we were talking about last week being that key cog in the rotation to make everything click and go, and the starting rotation is consistent from here on out, my goodness, with Ryu, Manoah, Ray, Steven Matz, I know he's been up and down, kind of like what we were saying earlier before the show about Jordan Montgomery, a guy who has a good start, bad start, good start, bad start. That's okay, 4-5 guy, if you have Manoah performing like a 3, and Thomas Hatch can just be a 4 or 5 as well. So, yeah, I can see Manoah sticking around here for at least the next month and just continue to evaluate it as every start passes.
Piggybacking off of that, I know the main focus of today's show and on the mind of Blue Jays fans is Alek Manoah. So I'm, you know, no apologies necessary here. But how much pressure does this put on or take off of Nate Pearson to get his ass back in the rotation in the big league? Trying to start with you.
That's a good question, man. In my mind, it might put a little more pressure on him because I know Pearson's been in the system a little bit longer and was drafted before Manoah, but Pearson has always been the guy who was the guy in the system, top pitching prospect, what was he, 7 or 4 this year in terms of all top 100 prospects in baseball. And he's come up last year. His debut, I believe, was 5 innings and he looked pretty decent, but it wasn't like Manoah's was today. The control issues with Nate Pearson needs to be solved. And it wasn't a good outing for him today in Buffalo either. I think he only pitched 4 innings, gave up a couple walks, hits, still struck out a lot, as Nate Pearson will always do. But yeah, I think in mine, it's a little bit more pressure on him because he's been heralded as the guy, and now somebody may have surpassed him at this point. And I think it's fair to question now, is Manoah the true number one pitching prospect in the organization? And you know what? If Pearson doesn't turn it around as the year goes along, SWR continues to do what he's been doing in the minors, there's going to start being questions about SWR being on the same level as Nate Pearson too. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, that
could already even maybe make that argument, but it's a level of amount and stuff. But I want to point out a funny thing here because this popped into my head while you were talking here, Brendan. We're talking about who surpassed who and who might be taking some of the spotlight, because in my opinion, this is similar to Vlad and Bo all over again, just on the other side of the coin here, that we're talking with this same situation now instead of hitting. But everybody knew Vlad was going to be the man. Obviously, we're seeing that now. But 2 years ago, Bo Bichette was the one that ended up having the insane major league debut, literally record-breaking in major league history with how many doubles he had off the bat. So right now, we've seen Nate Pearson struggle. He's in that quadruple A limbo bullshit right now where he is dominating in triple A and hasn't figured out how to translate to the majors. That's what we were kind of seeing with Vlad at the time. He was obviously not going anywhere from Major League Baseball, but he hadn't found that way to really just find himself and run with his performance, right? I think that's going to be this with Nate Pearson, and I don't think right now, with what we've been seeing from Nate Pearson, that this year is going to be that coming out party for him, especially at the Major League level. And if it does translate for him having any talent right now this season for the Blue Jays, I honestly would not be shocked if they let him come out and air it out in the bullpen.
Boom.
I would not be shocked by that whole situation, because let's say Manoah does solidify this spot. They're still going to be trading for a pitcher at the trade deadline. 100%. I don't care what the hell anybody says. They're going to find a way to add, even if it's an Walkerism or whatever it is, to this equation come, you know, probably around the All-Star break in that ballpark is where I would think. There's already been some decent trades going on in Major League Baseball, which is shocking to this point in the league. But
hey, Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. So on point, though, if Manoah's already taken that, where would Nate Pearson be able to go? And if he is that way to turn around and get that little bit of the ball rolling a little bit in the bullpen or something like that, that's fine. But right now, I'm with Brendan. Just let him throw down minors and work on his control. I honestly would love to see him take 2-3 miles an hour off his fastball and really focus on just pinpointing it. You talk about somebody that can throw, he's throwing 100 and 102 is his quote-unquote normal. Throw fucking 98. throw the ball across the damn plate. That's still plenty to get out major league hitters. What was it? Greg Maddux said he could throw 99 if he really wanted to, but he would never throw it across the damn plate. We know what Greg Maddux did in his career. The guy was freaking nuts, you know? I'm not saying he needs to take that big step back, but there is something with Nate Pearson's game that is not ready to translate over into Major League Baseball, where we're seeing the flip of that, where we saw in Alek Manoah today and over the, you know, first parts of the season here, that he has figured that part out. And that poise is actually letting him run in right into the major leagues. Even if he does take a little slight regress on this, we're not phoning another guy out of the minor leagues, I don't think, is where it really comes from. If he's going to go out there and pitch like 5 innings, that's the same level as Steven Matz, even if he regresses, you know?
Yeah.
I think you touched on a good point when it came to Vladdy compared to Bo and having Pearson compared to Manoah. The only difference I would make is, you know, when you look at Vladdy and Bo at the time, the problem with Vladdy at the time was lack of shape and lack of confidence at the time, or maybe it was overhype, right? Gets his ass in shape, gets more confidence. Now he's one of the best hitters in baseball right now. And that's not hyperbole. He legitimate.
Vlad VP, just saying.
Yeah. with Manoah, it's all confidence and stuff. No one's going to deny that Nate Pearson doesn't have the stuff. The problem with Nate Pearson is right here. It's in between the here. That's the problem. It's a complete lack of confidence. It's getting shook in the moment. I just don't know that he's ready for it. And I'm glad you mentioned the bullpen, man, because that was going to be my question. Are we at the point, and I know how many starts has he had in the bigs? I don't know, just a handful. I think it's under 10 starts that he's had in the big leagues. Are we prepared to say that he's probably destined for a bullpen role? Look, no. I'm not totally uncomfortable saying he's probably better off in the bullpen, maybe for a long relief. The pressure will be off him. Maybe he can air it out, as you said, Craig, a little bit more without having the pressure of going 5-6 innings. If he only has to go 3, maybe 4 tops, it's not a bad role to have. And if he's throwing gas, let it rip. I'm not convinced that this is a starting pitcher. And again, just on his game and he comes back and he's, you know, ripping it. If SWR looks coming back and he's a starting pitcher in the rotation down the line, I don't know. There might not be room for a Nate Pearson. You wait for someone with control. So maybe Pearson is a bullpen guy. I don't know, Brendan. It sounds like you wanted to. Yeah, sounds like you wanted to touch on it.
Nate Pearson is still a starter in my eyes, but not for this season. If Nate Pearson is back in the big league level, it's later on in the season as a reliever. And he follows the exact same trajectory as 2015 Aaron Sanchez.
Just going to say that.
Yes. Who struggled like with mine, control. First, whole bunch of starts in the bigs. And we saw that start last year. He came back in the bullpen in the playoffs, that one game against the Rays, and was like, holy crap. Like, of course, if we get this guy right, that's what he can do. But this year, the struggles continued into this year with the control. But he comes back in August, just like Aaron Sanchez had an injury in June or maybe May, and he came back like, you know what, for any concerns and the injury, you're going into the bullpen. And him, and I know that he must not be named anymore, but Roberto Osuna formed an incredible 8-9 in that 2015 Blue Jays bullpen with Cecil before he got hurt. So if he comes back this year, you know what, there might still be another starter or two depending on how desperate they are if there's another injury. Yeah. But the ideal way to do it at this point, until he figures out the control, back up in August, September, and he's an incredible weapon out of the bullpen that can give you 2 or 3 innings and help you bridge the gap from starter to closer.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this one out there too, another Blue Jays unmentionable that actually got his establishment and confidence in the Blue Jays bullpen.
Sure.
Marcus yeah. Stroman actually yeah, had those 4 or 5 awful starts in 2014, right? Couldn't throw the ball across the plate. They put him in the bullpen for like, what, a month? Something like that. He finally found out that he can get out major league hitters. And then, boom, we started seeing what in turn to be a good Marcus Stroman. But it's same thing. It's how he can get that confidence, because we know the stuff will carry. I do believe he is still a starter, wholeheartedly. It's just the pitches that he has and the varying speeds of those pitches is why I think he's going to eventually be a great starting pitcher. But until he gets that confidence cemented, he is not going to be anything but this quadruple A ballpark or teasing around here or a bullpen guy.
Yeah. Look, the organization has spoken. They are more comfortable with Anthony Kay as a spot starter than Nate Pearson. Again, no yep. disrespect to Anthony Kay. None whatsoever. He provided this team with
more
some
major league pretty, ready.
Yep. He's provided more quality just one start for Nate Pearson, but still, he has provided a little bit more security for the Blue Jays than so at that point, I think the writing's on the wall. Now, I'm not saying it's hopeless. I'm not saying he can't be a starter, but would we be I'm going to get fucking railed for this, but are
should
we,
I go back to the message board before?
Yeah. You might want to listen while I suggest this. Are we comfortable? Oh, I got to brace myself. Saying
no.
that Nate Pearson is not untouchable deadline, because I'm at that point.
He's still untouchable to me. I can't do it.
I disagree.
I do not
depending
want
on
another,
the return.
I will say depending on return.
Carpenter, man. I do not want another Chris
depending
Carpenter.
On the return.
No, I'm not.
It would have to be
if
for
you
a
can
top
get
tier
an
major
ace.
League player. That's going to be more control.
No.
So you wouldn't do it for a Scherzer.
Nope. I don't think I could do it for sure, sir, just because okay. I know I'd be giving the Nationals in hindsight. At least in that, he's not in my goddamn division of baseball, period. He's in the National League. Go over there and go ahead. But I, right now, because here's the problem, that, at least for me, Adam. Worst case scenario, he could be the best closer in Blue Jays baseball.
Okay, fair.
That is my basement for Nate Pearson. My ceiling pin is Roy Halladay, too.
Yep.
That would be the catch.
Yeah, I can't get there. I can't get there.
I can see your point. I'm not knocking. Yeah. I'm just saying it's literally, that's my spectrum. Tom Hankey to Roy Holiday.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he'll be somewhere in the middle. And this isn't a bad thing. This isn't like, I'm not comparing the talent and saying he's going to be like this. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the trajectory of his tenure as a Blue Jay might mirror Brett Cecil's.
Which is bad thing.
No, nope, that'd be fine too.
Brett Cecil was a terrible starter. And then when he had his bullpen role, he was phenomenal for the Blue Jays. So much so that he cashed in with the Cards.
Yeah.
So,
and then he fell off the face of the earth.
And then he fell off. That's what I'm saying. But
he's still technically under contract, then.
I think so.
With the Cards?
He's not on the roster, but he's technically under contract. But,
oh, wow.
Because they're still paying him.
Establish a role in the bullpen. And I'm not hating on that. I'm not saying, okay, let's force him to be a starter and stretch him out. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
At this point, I would rather them waste every bullet in trying to make him a thing and let him go at the end of his club control, knowing that, hey, we did everything we could for this generational talent in the minor leagues before they even think about trading him. That's just me. I know I know the Chris Carpenter thing happened before I was even a fan, but still, like, they missed out on him.
It's very rare. It's very rare for that.
Especially for a Blue Jay to be that good.
Yeah.
You know, we were actually having the same conversation about Blue Jays greats and whatnot at my softball game the other day, because I'm with a bunch of guys that are American League East, you know, and Orioles, Blue Jays, Yankees, so on and so forth, right? Thank God there's no Red Sox fans.
Wait, you were playing with one of the three Orioles fans?
Whoa. I have one of them play softball with me, and he is hardcore. He's like, dude, BJ Surhoff was my boy.
Wow.
There's a name drop for you.
Nice.
So, anyway, we were chit-chatting about this, and as far as homegrown Toronto Blue Jays great pitchers, you're in that ballpark of, okay, great, Jimmy Key. You know, Paul Quantrill was pretty good, but ended up being more of a bullpen guy. You know, until you get to Roy Halladay, you don't have that guy that's like, oh my God, he could win a Cy Young every year. You know, we haven't had it. It was homegrown as a Toronto Blue Jays pitcher. And even when we were good, in the most recent thing for most Blue Jays fans for 2015, 2016, we had no ace.
No, Stroman was the closest thing to a homegrown ace.
Correct. But our actual ace was Jay Happ, which was, you know, especially after in the Jay Happ version one. So, but right now, this whole thing going on with the Blue Jays minor league system with pitching and what's coming even still is unheard of in Toronto Blue Jays history, is my point. We were all pumped up for, you know, Nate Pearson just come in this season and run away with a job, and everybody was actually almost expecting that in spring training. Alek Manoah had a loud spring training, and everybody didn't even blink of the eye that he wasn't even thought of for being brought up with the team. And now you're talking about he's running away with a job and is looking like the legit, like, number one pick that we had.
Yeah.
And he's going to be solid. And he's looking very, very polished. And that's about the best thing I could say about him. For his age, that college baseball thing for him with West Virginia seems like that was the best decision on the planet for him.
Yes. So, dang. Yeah.
And but you got guys like him. Then what if Pearson hits? And then there's still SWR. We haven't heard from Eric Pardino in forever. He's going to start pitching again here shortly, I hear. And there's a lot of Blue Jays toted arms that are just collectively chilling out over here.
Yeah.
And Manoah's just the first one to finally
step up. There's more behind those guys too. I'm just looking at their top 30 prospects, guys that we forget about. Kloffenstein still down there with the nickname King Kloff on Blue Jays Twitter. CJ Van Eyck, who they only drafted, was it last year or the year before? And Van Eyck has a high ceiling. I know they traded Kendall Williams, but he would have been on that list. But even after that, Joey Murray is a guy we've been hearing about for a little while. And then you go a little bit further down, and there's names like Yosper Zulueta, who opened eyes in spring. Yep. I know he got hurt recently, but there's a lot of arms still in this system. It's kind of crazy.
And I think this is the only reason the Blue Jays have stand pat on the offseason on pitching. They didn't get the couple guys they wanted, and they're like, okay, fine. Let's see what we got with some of these youngsters. And they're finally seeing one rise to the top of that pile. And hopefully we can go get the other arm and push this thing over the top.
Hopefully it maintains. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the offensive side. Let's go to the king himself, Vladdy, who is on an absolute tear as of late. And it's honestly, it's really just a pleasure to watch him play baseball, literally on both sides of the diamond. He looks more confident than any other player on the team, maybe minus Manoah today. I'm particularly impressed with his defense at first, but saying that would be sort of a disservice to how awesome he's been at the plate. Prior to game one of today's doubleheader, Vladdy was tied as the league leader in home runs with 16 home runs. He's top five in RBI, top five in hits, and top five in runs. So, Craig, I'll toss it over to you, man. Is this his ceiling, or is he can he even reach higher than this? And moreover, more importantly for this year, is it sustainable? Are we going to see this production throughout the rest of the season, or is it inevitable that he's going to hit a slump?
I think it's going to fall back a touch, but
just a touch.
Emphasis on a touch, because guys, yeah. I've had the pleasure of watching him a lot play baseball, a lot. And this is the exact guy that I saw playing minor league baseball that I don't think Blue Jays fans have actually gotten to see. So in the midst of that equation, I think this is the new norm that Blue Jay fans should be kind of expecting. And then we're going to even see these like flashes where he just goes in absolute shreds. Like he had, what, three games in a row with home runs last week?
Yeah.
So we're just going to see things like that are going to be like a bam all of a sudden. And everybody's going to be like, holy shit. But to me, when I was watching Vlad Jr. play minor league baseball, I'm like, there is nothing to me that says this guy is a 30-40 home run guy. He's going to drive in a shit ton of runs and he's going to bat around 300. I think that's the norm that she's expecting, because there's just no way in hell this confidence train is going off for him. He is a full-on Major League Baseball player in his head, and he's having a freaking riot. I've been trying to push the nickname Vladdy Vicious for like 2 years now. People need to start getting on board with that damn nickname, because it is perfect for him.
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit of a higher level than this, but he's right. Like, this is the best offensive performance I've seen from a Blue Jays, probably 2015 Josh Donaldson at this point. In terms of what he's done just this month alone, he's hit 9 home runs, but he's hit almost 330. He's getting on base, like, just an incredible amount of times. He's always on base. This is the closest, craziest month I've seen to Edwin S. 2014 when he hit 16 home runs and single-handedly carried the Blue Jays offense. Vlad's lucky he hasn't had to single-handedly carry it in May, because Marcus Semien has just been as incredible.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
Semien, this is like MVP 2019 Marcus Semien, right? And Bo continues to be good. Grichuk, he has not fallen off like we've all expected him to. But yeah, there might be a little bit more of a level for Vlad Jr. to the point where maybe he will start having 16 home run months like Edwin Encarnacion did in 2014. But this is pretty damn special. Right now, how can he not be your favorite to win the MVP just with how he's doing? Like, if the Blue Jays are anywhere close to contention, which they should be in September, let's say they miss out by a game or two or they get in, it's pretty much single-handedly on Vlad for the most part, with some nice supporting pieces from Semien and Bo and others who are in that lineup. So yeah, it's Vlad's team right now. I know the last few years we've gone back and forth of Vlad to Bo, and now I think we're back on Vlad. That's not a bad problem to have. It really
no,
is.
No. Look, you tossed out names. You're right. Semien has been on a tear. Lourdes is starting to heat up. He's starting to connect. Teoscar has been like, he has his moments, but still he's been consistently good. He hasn't fallen off, and last year wasn't a fluke. He hasn't fallen off. Bo, when he's on, he's on. If this team is solid, and we still don't have Springer in the mix, think about it. Like, I know they just dropped 6 in a row. I get it. It's gonna happen. Those swings are gonna happen. Yeah, and look, you're not even, if we're in playoff contention in September, you're not even gonna remember these games, unless they really do cost us. But you're not gonna remember these games. Look, you gotta be confident with what Vladdy's doing, because you're right, he is leading this team in terms of how he's carrying himself. He is an example to players on how to carry yourself, because he's having fun. That's the thing. He looks like just a kid having fun playing baseball in your beer league softball. I know it's not a kid, but still, he looks like he's just not even going to work. You can tell he loves what he's doing, and he's having fun doing it. And again, I am so impressed with the defense at first. The way he's picking balls out of the dirt, those short hop throws by Bo, just picking him up, no problem, making those. I think there was a throw that too high, and he got his foot just on the bag in the Rays series to get him out, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if that was him or Rowdy. But still, he
– But there's the defense, even been a couple he's laid out for.
Yes.
Over at first base and completely sold out and still somehow managed to keep his foot. It's been very impressive.
The vertical reach, this is what happens when you lose 42 pounds.
He get hops.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. He's not looking like he's too far behind like Justin Smoke or something like that for recent Blue Jays, for defensive first baseman first. And, you know, there's no reason that if he continues on this kind of a cliff that people shouldn't be thinking about him for a possible Gold Glove performance, you know. Tell me right now, who's in the American League, who has been quintessential first baseman that has been doing anything better than he has been? Ugh. It's hard to name somebody off the top of my
I agree. He looks like a natural first baseman. That's the thing.
It fits.
Yes.
It's like Loris Gurriel Jr. all of a sudden finding left field. It fits.
You know, speaking of, he didn't play a bad first base.
No, he didn't.
Wasn't that bad.
Well, his brother Yuli's doing nothing but first base, ain't he?
Yeah. Yeah, runs in the family.
There you go.
I hope this is just a taste of what we're getting in Vlad. And you know what? If he does put up MVP numbers and maybe even wins the MVP this year, the Blue Jays have to just – it's time to put up, dude. You have to send him. And you know what? Tatis is the measuring stick now.
Yep.
You have to either match it or exceed it to keep a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on your team. And it's well earned at that point because he's the future. And if this is just a taste of, if this is just an appetizer, my God, and Springer for years and Bo for years, just for the next 5 years after this, just let it run.
For Blue Jays fans, Blue Jays fans, we should be getting used to the fact that we should be starting to eventually in the next year, I think, having that same conversation, the best Blue Jays first baseman. He's going to be in that conversation with Delgado McGriff.
Yeah.
And that's how it should feel going forward, because you already see the calm, you know, what it was, the calm before the storm. Now you're seeing him be more or less right now. The only guy that was beating him in most offensive categories was Mike Trout. Guess what happened? Mike Trout's not playing baseball for a week. And here comes the Vladdy train. I think the only guy doing better him in most categories in the majors is the guy you had just mentioned, the financially has been cashed in Fernando Tatis.
Tatis, yeah.
Because I'm sorry to say, and this is the thing that shocks me about Tatis. I have him on my fantasy team, and he's played only 2/3 as many games as Major League Baseball players, and he's still leading in all these offensive categories. It's insane.
Same thing with Acuna, too. He's – Bo just hit a home run. They're up 3-1. Yep.
Yes. He just did.
There you go. See? Extend Bo.
Yes.
Full blast.
Extension.
He heard us talking Vlad up too much and just wanted to make sure he got in the conversation.
I need some thunder back.
Let's go, JJ's.
There you go. It was a shot to left center, too. All right. We touched on him earlier. I'd be remiss if we didn't bring him up again. We got to talk about Steven Matz, man, because that outing against the Yankees 2 days ago, we're recording this on Thursday, so on Tuesday, was just outstanding. He needed a bounce back. His last outing before that against Boston left a lot to be desired. Trust me, I know. In that game, he pitched 6 innings, giving up 5 runs, all earned, only fanning 4 and walking 2, also giving up a home run. Fast forward 5 days later, again to Tuesday at Yankee Stadium, arguably his best outing of the year since Kansas City. Okay, so it's been quite some time since he's had an outing like this. And prior to this, his race hasn't been that good. All right. So if you were to walk in and see the stats against the Yankees prior to this game, you would think, oh man, they're going to clobber him. Nope. He had arguably his best outing in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform. Pitched 2/3, gave up 1 earned run, striking out 10 and walking 0. Brendan, how important is this success for Steven Matz moving forward with this rotation? We talked about people like Alek Manoah and how maybe Thomas Hatch has a shot in the rotation if something were to open up. If Steven, again, maybe it's going to be up-down performances, we'll see. But if it's somewhere in the middle on average from here to the end of the season, how important is that for the stability of this rotation?
Oh, huge. It can't be understated. It's massive. He looked like he did his first 3 starts of the season. Going out there, pumping the strike zone, keeping the ball low in the zone. It was surprising. I was not expecting that, to say the least, especially at Yankee Stadium. I still get horrible flashbacks to Tanner Roark last year and just a whole bunch of other pitchers died at Yankee Stadium in September of last year. Taiwan Walker getting annihilated last year. So whenever there's a good, decent pitcher that goes out in the mound at Yankee Stadium, I think, you know what, we could maybe win the game. Sometimes I wouldn't be surprised if the short porch comes back and bites him in the butt. But no, Matt's turned it around a little bit. There were some outings between the Royals game and the Yankees game on Tuesday that there were some encouraging signs. There were a lot of runs given up that Houston started when the Blue Jays won that one game in Houston. I think Matt may have gotten credited for the win that day, but he still gave up 4 runs, I believe. It wasn't the greatest start, but he kept them in the game. And that's what mattered that night. So there's been a lot of meh to poor outings lately. And meh isn't the ceiling that we want. We want a little bit better than that, especially for a guy who right now is your number 3. Meh can be okay for a number 3, but ideally that's more of a number 4 in your rotation. And hell, if Manoah stays, he started today and does that, that easily pushes him down. And then Hatch and Steven Matz rounding out the rotation could be a very nice 4-5, assuming Hatch lives up to the hype that people have been giving him on this rehab stint that he's started. Yeah, it's huge. It could be a very nice looking rotation with those 5 guys leading the way the next few turns through.
This is the Steven Matz we need to keep.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. He could really fare well be the linchpin of this whole plan, is what it's going to come down to. We're hoping that Manoah is going to continue this track, right? And we finally have that 4th guy. Matt's continuing to find ways to get 5-6 innings is going to be key to this team being in a good pennant race. It really is what it's going to do. And I really hope that this is more what we keep getting. I'm fine with him if he can keep getting, you know, giving up the occasional home run, as long as he keeps it to 2-3 runs a game and gets me 5 or 6 innings. I'm fine with that. The bullpen, especially if we are going to finally get somebody stepping up for that 4th spot role, even better. I really think the thing that's going to go forward here, too, the fact that our best starters, the ones that actually do eat up innings, boys, they're all left-handed. That's one thing I think that's undersung about this whole thing. If Manoah steps up, flip-flop some of these batters and mess with some lineups and stuff again. But Steven Matz, that outing the other night, it was incredible to watch. Especially, like you said, he's got some demons in Yankee Stadium, especially from all those Subway Series playing with the Mets.
Yep.
I can, you know, exercise the demons, if you will, and see him get back on the train a little bit here and go with the Blue Jays back to get some wins after that long, hard week that we've had over the past 6 games up into that point. And I forgot to mention this while we were doing this, but how many games were we would we not been in with Vladdy not mashing a few home runs over that losing streak? If we had one other person step up over that winning streak, those could have been wins. Our losing streak could have been wins instead. Kept us in the game single-handedly at least 2 of those outings.
So, no,
but anyway,
I agree.
Matz is good. We got to keep him exactly whatever he's did right these last couple starts, moving in that direction. It's got to stay that way.
Yeah, it seemed like there was just a paradigm shift in demeanor for him. When he's on, just his approach, again, not the stuff, not the talent, not to say that he's not talented, but he just looks like Roy Halladay with his windup and his just like that, and just the hat and the face. It just looks like Roy Halladay to me. Like, it could be Halladay's cousin or something.
Yeah.
Former roommate. Halladay's, yeah, way better than Matt's. I'm not trying to compare talent here. It's just when he's in that zone and he's comfortable, he's it's clicking. He's good. And again, 10 strikeouts is nothing to just, nothing to scoff at, right? This is against Yankees in Yankee Stadium. That's a confidence booster, and that's something that you can carry over, right? I think he pitching against Miami would be his next start, or is it the last game?
It looks like him and Manoah would land Miami, I think.
No. Okay. I think it'd be Sunday in Cleveland.
Oh, I think they said that during the first broadcast. I think you're right. It was going to be Matz and
it'd be Ray and Manoah in the Marlins series is the way it lined up right now.
Yes. So there you go.
They were hoping that Kay was going to make his other start over the weekend here.
Okay. So yeah, look, that's something that you can walk into Cleveland and have a chip on your shoulder and, you know, let the confidence roll over from Yankee Stadium and try to pull out another dub. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think when when we're talking about how thin this rotation has been stretched, you know, the team in general, you know, those types of wins are important. Those types of wins are confidence booster. It doesn't matter if you're coming off a 6-game losing streak. As long as you can pick yourself back up and pick up some W's and again, 10 K's, fine. Bring it on, man. And I'm not expecting that type of production through and through for the rest of the season. I'd be very surprised, very happy with that type of production, but I just don't see it happening. Again, I think it's going to be somewhere average in the middle, which is fine. And could you do better for a number three? Sure. But again, one time through the road, it doesn't matter, right? It's just you get who you get and whatever lands on, it lands there. So I'm hoping for good things when it comes to Mats. I'm hoping that he can continue the success. We'll see what happens. Craig, you touched on, you know, what would happen if someone else besides Vladimir Guerrero would we win a couple of those games. We got to talk about the Tampa Bay sweep. We got to talk about losing 2 out of 3 against Boston.
I was in a good mood, guy.
We have to, because I know 6 games losing streak, we're behind us now, but still, there were a lot of opportunities for the Jays to come out and pick up at least 2 W's that I can think of. At least 2, both of which were in extras. Okay, both were in extra innings. The bullpen seemed to be the Achilles heel when it came to this streak for the Jays, and I'm not sure that Montoyo is completely blameless from all of this. I was questioning some of his bullpen decisions. So, Craig, where and who, anyone, do you place the blame on that sweep against Tampa and losing 2 out of 3 against Boston? Because the Jays lost some serious real estate in the AL East.
Yeah. Well, my biggest problem, giving Rafael DeLeese high leverage innings right off of an injury. Whoever hell fucking made that decision, I think we know who. Yeah. I'm not happy with. I'm sorry to say that I know Jordan Romano was quote-unquote not feeling good or whatever it was. He wasn't hurt much, right?
Right.
So the problem was he pitched the inning before and it was lights out, the one game. And then DeLeese came out and pitched the 9th, and then you all saw what happened. Mm-hmm. I love Rafael DeLeese. I think he's a great piece for this bullpen. But right off that injury, the first start or the first pitch he had back, that was that we out the, was that the game we blew out the Red Sox and he came the out just to game, throw yeah. out the last was, inning or whatever. He looked nothing, yeah. horrible. Mm-hmm. It was really rough to watch. He just couldn't find the plate. He thrown almost 30 pitches during that outing just for cleanup duty. It scared the crap out of me, and I'm like, okay, well, give him some easy innings the next week. Let him get that motion back that he had before that injury, because he was looking pretty damn good before he got hurt in for a week. And I just couldn't believe that they kept trucking him out there for those same high leverage innings that I saw the thing.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't believe they kept trucking him out there for those same high innings when they had at that time Chatwood was still kind of semi-rested and Romano was pitching in that game anyway. You just chose the wrong inning to throw him in.
Yeah, especially, yeah. I agree with you when it comes to came to dunk that. Again, they were just trying to get him some work, and what better time to do it than with an 8-0 cushion.
I agree right? that. I'm talking about the game that he blew like the night after, and then the next game later in the weekend that he blew. Until today, did he end up pitching? No, he didn't pitch the first game, right?
He didn't. He warmed up.
He was warming up.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen him get back to that point where I was comfortable with him, or at least Jason Frazier-ing like him, like I keep making the comment. So, yeah. But he just wasn't fighting the same way he was finding it before that injury. And like I said, if I saw that after that first outing, I would have been taking that step back and go, oh, you know what? You're a 7-inning guy until you get right. Not to demote him or anything, but just let you get right, and then you can go back. It just seemed really weird to me.
What about you, Brennan?
Yeah, it's tough, especially because I'm just thinking of Sunday's game when Chatwood had the most inopportune time to have his only bad outing.
That was rough.
In my mind, that's tough to pin on Charlie because Chatwood's been your most consistent guy for so long now. But at the same time, it's the decision that came after that, because wasn't it Travis Bergen who followed Chatwood and he proceeded to walk 3 guys and you know down and available in the bullpen and he wasn't warming up. I'm so glad I'm not a major league manager because it's so difficult to make these decisions on the fly, but some of them just seem so obvious watching from the couch. Like, why is Zano not up at that point in time, unless he was injured or he just was simply unavailable. But somebody later called out on Twitter that Romano was up and throwing for a little while. when Bergen was walking everybody. So why didn't Romano come in first? So that game I definitely blame on Charlie. I'll give Thursday a pass with Dolis because he's supposed to be your high leverage guy and you need to trust him in those situations. And really, I know Dolis had another rough outing or two earlier this year, but whenever Rafael Dolis gets a runner or two on base, I'm tripped because he always seems to find a way to get out of it. But that was just one of the times where he just didn't have good enough stuff to get out of it. And that's tough to evaluate at the time. Like Charlie's thinking, okay, there's a runner or two on base right now. Do I trust Dolis enough to do what he's done his whole Blue Jay way, guys on base and get out of it somehow? Because he's really good at that. So that was definitely disappointing. I can't remember Friday's game. It was a Friday's game. They blew it in the bullpen too. Basically, they had three games, one against Boston and Ginspa, where they had they were one out away from winning three games of those. And then on Monday, they came all the way back from 5-0, tied at 5-5, went down 7-5, tied at 7-7, and proceeded to lose 14-7. So you can make an argument that you should have won that fourth game too. So when you go back and look at that right now, I know that they're 25-23, but there's a very real case that this team could be 30-19 right now after winning today and Tuesday. And that's sad to think about right now. I've lost some ground. And that makes this series against Cleveland pretty big because they're a half game back of the final wildcard spot, Cleveland, and we're two back of them. So if you gain one game on them, that's perfectly fine. And it's all because of last week. So there's a little bit on definitely blame Sunday on him. Thursday. When Dolis imploded, not so much. And I do believe the other blown game probably is on Charlie, too, from what I remember. Weekend, and I had quite a bit to drink, so I don't think I felt...
Bad memory's been already put in your memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Attaboy.
It didn't happen. I know what you're talking about. It's
one of those things where they tied it up twice in that game on Monday. You had that Vladdy home run with that memorable photo that everyone was circulating on Twitter, which was fantastic. And then you had Simeon tie it up again, and then they blew it. They just blew it. It lost me off so much.
Me too. I didn't watch Monday because I was so pissed off with the other two games so blown earlier in the week. I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm not watching.
So bad. But, you know, like, the one bright spot, first of all, I never want to see Trent Thornton starting again, ever. I don't want to see it.
At least not anytime soon.
Swing had his best outing as a Blue Jay coming in for really best result. There was
so
five
maybe this
runs.
Is the solve. You put Nate Pearson in as an opener, and then you run into Stripling.
Maybe. He pitched seven innings, right? Not bad. And this is a guy that, like, notoriously gives up a shit ton of runs in the first inning when he starts. And it's just like, we'll figure it out.
Just get over the first inning. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So just let someone else blow it up in the first inning. And, you know, maybe he can come in and clean it up. But that's the only real bright spot, obviously, other than the two home runs that I mentioned. But another thing that pissed me off about that weekend series against Tampa, I know there's nothing they can do about it. I am so glad they're getting out of Dunedin. I am so tired of seeing opposing cheer for the opposing team so loud in Dunedin. It pisses me off so much. You had the Red Sox fans doing it. You had Tampa Bay's fans doing it. It's like
I didn't even think they were any Tampa Bay fans. What the
That's what I'm saying. They're all in Dunedin.
The sad thing is it's probably easier for them Tampa Bay fans to get Dunedin than it is to get to the Trop. And that's why they were able to actually go. Because getting to the Trop is a fucking nightmare.
That's what I'm saying.
Tried it myself. It's horrible.
So, look, there is not a better time for them to go to Buffalo. And let alone, look, that I like the upgrades that they did for that stadium in Dunedin, but it's not a big league ballpark. And I'm not taking anything away from Vladdy's accomplishments there because it sort of dilutes think about it. I don't want to. But it at the same time,
it's still got the dimensions. It just has that Gulf Stream of air.
Yes.
Like literally.
Yeah, and the weird sunset, so we have to do 7:37 starts, but I digress. Yeah, look, I'm just so glad they're getting out of there, and I'm so glad they're going to Buffalo. You are, too. Were you able to get tickets or no?
No, they sold out in 30 fucking minutes.
Expensive on the secondary markets from what I've seen, too.
And they're not going... I was trying to tact it, Braun, because my mom is a Yankees fan, and she's like, I'll go, we'll have a family outing, and I love my mom, and so I tried to get Yankees Blue Jays tickets.
They
started at $180.
Like face value?
Face value from the Bison's ticket office, $180 per seat.
Really?
It's a freaking itty bitty ballpark.
They're making up for lost revenue, dude.
Exactly,
it's gotta
100 billion times over. And the fact that the Bisons aren't even getting the revenue because it's being deferred. So, you know, the normal Ticketmaster nonsense, they're paying the Bisons, and then the Blue Jays finally get their cut. You know, so it's probably 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon by the time you really get, you know, your money. So on that point, though, I tried that. I'm like, okay, I'll go for the Houston Astros and the Mets. Great, no problem, right? Yep, gone. I was literally sitting there spamming the freaking, in the middle of a meeting that I'm talking in, I'm sitting here clicking on my mouse. Hoping
people
that I would finally get that window that says, oh, by the way, here, select your tickets. I couldn't even get that far. I just kept erroring. So, but I guess the biggest thing that shot my chances in the arm, I found out after the fact, that not only were Buffalo Bison season ticket allowed to buy tickets pre-advance, it was anybody that had season tickets to any Buffalo sports owned by the Pegulas.
What, so Sabres and Bills got access
to? Sabres and Bills, yeah.
White Hawks and Amherst fans.
Oh,
here. So
the
Pegula Media owns like basically almost every sport here in Western New York, because they even
they're only successful with one.
They even own the hockey team here in Rochester, Americans.
Oh wow!
So it's insane, and they even until a few weeks ago, Brenda, they even owned one of your favorite bars in the 716.
Yes.
So
that's the best bar in Buffalo. Trust me.
That though, like I said, I didn't realize that that was each of the pre-sales. So I wonder if there was like three tickets really left by the time I went to go actually buy tickets. But the fact that they're going to be in Buffalo anyways, I'm just happy that in Buffalo there will be more Blue Jays playing the Yankees.
Yep. So. And Craig, you can guarantee that probably in a few weeks, maybe even by 4th of July, that stadium will be allowed to have full capacity.
The reason they only sold the first eight Blue Jays games was because the expectancy is supposed to go up to 65% after June 16th, 17th, something like that. So it's going to be 65%, and it's going to be they've been saying all vax at that point when they
right,
go.
Right. No problems getting tickets.
I would hope.
If that is any signal to what tickets will be like when they finally come back to Toronto, even if it's next year, oh boy, you better get ready to pay quite a pretty penny for the home opener in 2022.
I will say this, though. Outside the Yankees series, because this makes 110% in New York that those tickets were outrageous. Their games, I was on par with where I thought the prices would be in that $50-$60 ballpark for the more fair, like you said. The Miami series, the Astros series, the premium tickets, I think, were $80.
That's not bad.
So
here's how you beat the system. Here's how you beat the system. Ready?
Wait for the guy on the corner outside the ballpark.
Sort of. You go to the ballpark and you know you see the scalpers and you just ignore them for a little bit. You don't have any tickets, you just ignore them, and you go to the local bar. You have a beer or two. Just let the game start.
Two innings.
Let it get into the first 2-3 innings. You know, you're drinking your beer at the bar, which is significantly cheaper than it would be in the ballpark anyway. And you're watching the game. Yeah. Then you find that same scalper and be like, how many tickets you got? He's like, I got two. How much? X amount. Okay, buddy, here's the deal. It's the third day. You're going to walk away making no money. How about I just buy them for face value and you can get your money back? Sold. It's happened so many times with me because by the third inning, there's no one walking around the stadium to get in.
Right.
And they got to make some money back. So at that point, you offer them face value and get in there. Craig, so if you have the time, do that.
Yeah. Me and my dad did tried to do six stadiums in a week. And we got to Fenway. And we couldn't get tickets. That was how we ended up finally getting tickets.
You wait.
Yeah. We hung out at some bar that was right outside the Green Monster outside the ballpark and watched
it. Went to the bullpen.
Yeah. So we were in there watching, and they were playing the Blue Jays. That was the reason we really wanted to go there. It's like we were following up the East Coast, started all the way down in Baltimore, and kept going up.
That's a Bills bar. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's just defined irony bar. Right there.
Dude,
literally taking a shit in Boston's backyard.
You ended up with the two favorites.
So I went to the last game of the Blue Jays season one year. I think it was 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And they were playing the Red Sox. And after the game, we had parked in a parking lot in a garage rather, and the line to get in was just too long, and we were just like, let's just go get a beer and wait it out. So we go into the bullpen, and I'm drinking. I'm like, I'll have a Labatt Blue because everyone's drinking blues, and I'm not even thinking. And I'm like, all right, so football's on because it's like, whatever, we'll watch. And it's the Bills Jets, and everyone's wearing. I'm looking around, everyone's wearing Bills jerseys. I'm like, why are there so many Bills fans? And they're like, it's a Bills bar, dude. I'm like, oh fuck yeah! And I'm just so, like,
that. This is when freaking Adam goes like full cart straight into a Zoomer.
Dude, I was happy. And they had like merchandise, official Bills bar of Boston. I was like, oh, this, you invaded enemy territory, legit on their turf.
That's like the beautiful. Over again.
That's beautiful. Awesome. That is
so
awesome.
If you ever get a chance to see like a Blue Jays game on a Sunday while the Bills are playing, because sometimes that happens in September.
Yep.
It's an amazing atmosphere, but I digress. All right, so we talked about all the Blue Jays stuff. Let's get to picks to click and predictions. Craig, what do we got for the P2Cs from last week?
On the P2C, Mr. Brandon Panikkar had Hyunjin Ryu. You had Randall Grichuk. I had Taylor Hernandez. And I actually forgot to put out the tweet for the guest spot, so
that's okay.
I'm gonna carry over the Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray. And the sad thing is, it might be Robbie Ray.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say I had anything to Teoscar Hernandez and Randall
we're not
Grichuk.
Counting Robbie Ray today.
Randall Grichuk had a typical new Randall Grichuk week. So Adam, you might actually have a good chance here. But Ryu had a pretty good suit. But this is that pitching default over hitting thing that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Was it a full standout for Ryu to really run away with it? But then Robbie Ray, was that the 10 strikeout outing over the last week?
No, it was. We had already covered that.
Okay.
Right.
I think Adam just broke out of the cellar.
I give that to you too, Adam.
Yeah! First dubs!
You are
on the board!
Yes! He is now tied for last with the guest spot with one win.
This is the start, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish, even though
That's
I
right.
will regret
it's
those
a marathon,
picks before.
Not a race.
That's
You're
it.
On the trajectory of Josh Allen. First year, you know what? Project, got to work through some kinks. Second year, all right, got my team to the playoffs. Third year, I'm an MVP candidate.
I'm
you
king.
Are on that journey.
Did you see his sick new visor
dude,
thing?
Dude, I was just going to say. King Visor Allen.
It
oh,
is
my
like,
God.
This
in
awesome
shorts.
Blue, turquoise, like teal,
is
white, yellow thing.
Is he
going
to wear that in the season?
No. You guys heard
it.
About, you saw what happened with Shannon Sharpe and Julio, right?
Yeah.
So I forget the Barstool podcast that does for football. I forget.
Is it Bustle with the Boys?
It's Big Cat. I forget the name of it. Anyways, so they called him and they tried to spoof it. And they were just talking about the visor, like, yo, so visor or no visor, what are we doing? And he's like, I'll wear the visor in practice, but I'm not going to wear it at the game because I'm
stupid. Yeah, man, it's so cool.
Dude, I know. He looks so badass.
Yeah, he's going to say badass is the definition of that picture of him.
Yeah.
So,
looks
boy.
Great.
The only thing that I would love to see him do is when if they do the color out or the color rush thing again, and it's the red jerseys again instead of the blue. He gets his red all like that. He's
dope.
Just like
I
Buffalo
love
Bills blooded out.
They already said they're doing the white grill for the helmets on all helmets this year for
really?
Them for the Bills. Yeah, so I'm happy
good.
About that white face mask rather.
Yeah.
So, all right, so picks to click. Let's start. Brennan, why don't you kick it off? Who do you got?
Do I go the pitching route again? It didn't help me this time, even though it's helped me a whole bunch in the past.
P.S. Robbie Ray just gave up another home run, so it's 4-3 Yankees.
Damn it. That's been his heel all year.
Gary Sanchez,
you know
too. What the shit?
Gary Sanchez, yeah.
Because he's not walking people, and that's why the home runs are allowable. That's a good question. I'm going to go with... didn't really think this one through. I'm going to go Teoscar Hernandez.
Okay. What about you, Craig?
I am thinking watching Marcus Semien hit that home run today. This has got me in his corner right now. I'm going to go with Marcus Semien.
Ride the hot hand. He's been incredible.
He is getting the most undersun MVP candidate kind of thing going on right now at all,
easily.
Isn't he?
Easily.
This is his campaign a few years ago all over again.
Yeah.
But he is going to, if this pace and goes into Buffalo hot like he's been, guys, he's a 40 home run guy in that ballpark. just saying. So
pretty sure on Friday he was the eighth most valuable player. So Blue Jays could by very, very soon have two of the top five in terms of WAR.
I gotta ask this question: are you throwing a brick of money at him this offseason to keep him in a Blue Jay uniform? Because I wanted him to do that when they signed him in the first place. This is more than I was expecting. Semien. But I was expecting consistency, not so much stand out. You know what I mean?
I unless it's an overpay, I don't think he takes it, because the 1 year to bet on yourself and get paid like crazy. So unless he overpaid,
has really liked playing with these guys though.
Oh, I
so there's something to be said about that. And he didn't really want to leave Oakland. 30.
Yeah.
He's 30. I'm not giving him more than two.
No, I don't think he'd take it either.
I guess we'll find out.
You know, because how far away is, like, are we? I mean, he's really good, don't get me wrong, but like, you still have an obligation to develop Cavan. I'm not trying to harp on the Cavan train. Like, maybe Austin Martin will play in the infield at some point, and I don't think he'll play second.
The catch is right now, the guy is clicking in this lineup, clubhouse, and everything. Do you try to develop or do you try to hold on to that? I really don't. I guess this is almost the sweat Josh Donaldson back 2017, right? What do you do?
Something in the Blue Jays' favor with Semien could be the fact that he did linger on the free agent market. So if you offered him a nice deal, be like, hey, certainty of getting this money instead of lingering again. But
the market is going to screw him too, I think, this coming year with the people that are going to be available. So yeah, I honestly would be shocked if he's not the Blue Jays to clean up on. But he screams to me. I love watching him in the lineup. I'm getting that feeling that he's just got to stick around.
I'd offer him what they reportedly offered DJ. And I know DJ was a few years older. What? LeMahieu was 480 something the same.
Yeah.
No.
LeMahieu's one fucking just saying.
Yeah, he hasn't been that great. I do two in an option. I'll meet you in the middle. I'll do two in an option.
All right, but we got to get Am's click.
Yeah. Manoah. Book it.
Thinking about locking that in, because he's gonna. And if he does anything like he did today, you got yourself probably that, almost like you said, the standout performance. And maybe they'll let him pitch fucking seven innings. That was the only thing that pissed me off about this. You had a chance to spend for the whole first game and not pitch anybody. You used Jordan Romano in that game for a throwaway inning, and I would have at least let him go out if he struggled with the first batter. Okay, then bring Romano in. You haven't lost anything except giving him another maybe 6-7 pitch.
Yeah, you're protecting a 2-run lead though in Yankee Stadium. You want to just shut it down, I guess. But I agree with you. I wanted to see him get the shutout.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. So prediction times: 3 at Cleveland, 2 against Miami in Buffalo. It's a Buffalo Blue Jays bet.
I'm missing my hat.
Cleveland. Cleveland. I'll go 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. I'll be a little bold.
I'm with you there. That's a series you need to win and gain some ground. I know it's early-ish, but not really. Like, it's a pretty big series considering it's the end of May, and they're going to be a team you need to beat out for the wild card. Plus, you have Ryu going tomorrow. You have to win that game. And they're starting a rookie. I've never heard of Eli Morgan. Blue Jays have struggled with rookies in the past.
I was going to say, that's going to be in the game we lose.
Yeah.
They've been horrible. I really wish that was something you could look up in like 5 seconds, because I really want to say the Blue Jays are batting sub-100 against which you've never faced before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
And that trend continued already once or twice this season too.
Yeah. But I still think they take 2 out of 3.
I agree, but I'm just saying that, in my opinion, it's my 2 out of 3, the one game that I'm going to lose.
Yeah, no.
The one thing that the Blue Jays have for that series, though, is we have the A-team going outside of K, possibly, but K looked really, really damn good the last couple starts. So you got
tripling for Saturday is what it is as of right now.
Is that what they were saying it was? Okay, I didn't realize that, but okay. I thought they said that Kate was going to start that. Maybe it's because they don't think
he's hurt. He got put on the 10-day.
Okay, I missed that. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
They were, because yesterday, it must have been Tuesday during the game, they were talking that he was going to make his next start. So apparently that changed between today's broadcast and on Tuesday.
Let me see if I have an update on that. I could have sworn he got with a blister.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right.
So Stripling.
So we got Memorial Day on Monday off. So off day for the Blue Jays on Memorial Day, U.S. holiday. Then we got two against the Marlins. The Marlins to me are one of those exciting teams to watch because they're up and and you know, since that Geo trade, people are like, oh god, they're going to be terrible. Derek Jeter doesn't know what he's doing. In fact, I don't know. He's kind of building on an exciting team.
He's been quietly doing it.
Yeah.
Not like you would think with the noise that was Derek Jeter good in New York, but I have really enjoyed watching that Jazz Chisholm play shortstop.
Yes, yeah. He's a player.
He's going to be fun to watch for years to come. I honestly was thinking that he would. I don't think he's got the ceiling of this comparison, but he has that same mold to me. He reminds me of Omar Vizquel with how he plays the game. Great, great defender, and has just enough doubles pop that enough of them will go over the wall for home runs here and there. But he's in that stadium down in Miami, guys. He's just going to be able to hit the ball in all those goddamn plays.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got legs for days. It's a team with a similar record to the Blue Jays. Right now, they're 24-26, so they're not like too far off. Two games under 500, we're two games over. Plus, these are the first two games in Buffalo, so being in a minor league AAA stadium might benefit these guys for Miami because they're so young. I'm just kind of spitballing here. I'm going to be conservative with it. I'm going to take a split because I don't like two-game series at all, so I'm just going to take a split.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man. One and have a 3-2 next five games. That's fine.
I agree. Yep,
so
same.
I'm going to go with the sweep in Buffalo because I think they're going to happy to be home.
And you're going to find a way to get in.
I'm going to find a way. I'm just going to sneak in. I'm going to rip up floorboards, whatever I have to do.
Who's that guy running on the field? It's Craig.
I'm going streaking, guys, straight through a quad into the gymnasium.
As long as you have a Jaybird watching sign.
Yeah, just say you're Craig Pegula.
There it is. See how far that gets me.
You'll be able to do whatever the hell you want.
Don't worry
about it. That being said, there is no Blue Jays game next Thursday, so we will be again broadcasting live next Thursday. Craig, I believe, yes, the agreement, you are scheduled to host next Thursday. So those on the live stream, please set your schedules, your calendars, whatever, to next Thursday evening at 7, we will be joining you live. And on top of that, if you haven't yet, subscribe on your favorite podcatcher. If you're live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, wherever you get your live stream fixes from, we are on all the podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast fix, we are there. Please take the time to give us our quick review on Apple Podcasts. And guys, I don't know if you have any closing statements you'd like to make regarding this Blue Jays team. Make them now. No, that's enough. Okay.
But I will say this, though. Blue Jays fans, tonight it's been fun interacting with everybody on Twitter and whatnot before the game. It was abnormal here in our show here again tonight. So please, we are here. We want to chat with you. Hit us up on the Twitter account, even when we're not having the live shows and when we're doing have the live shows. We are happy to chat and include your parts of the conversation or even your points of view interjected into our conversation here on the show. We are live when we're recording this. Make sure you take advantage of that.
Yes, we will stop our conversation if you have a point.
Especially if it's a stupid joke. We seem to always make sure we hammer those ones home. I forgot to tell you guys, you guys saw the tweet that I said to you before the game. My mom with a classic joke over the weekend here when we were watching the Blue Jays-Yankees game the other night. She saw Lourdes Gurriel Jr.'s hair for the first time, you know, the Pina power that we all know and love, but her being a Yankees fan, she's never seen him, you know, without the helmet on in the field. So she saw it for the first time and more or less said, oh my god, when did the Blue Jays sign Sideshow Bob from the Simpsons?
Bob. There you go.
Well, so that's
Sideshow Bob is
the kind of fun we can interject into this year. Make sure you enjoy the jokes.
Especially next Thursday, like I said, there's an off day, so there's not going to be a Blue Jays game to distract you, so please join us and talk some Blue Jays. We're filling in the gaps there for your Blue Jays needs. Let's end this like we always do. Two claps, Ric Flair. Let's go, Blue Jays.
Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays. Manoa Mania. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.